South Florida Athletics. I'm your co-host, Anthony Beck, along with my other co-host.
2017 national champion, Keenan Bell. Shout out to homie.
And there's the reference of who Marcus played with in high school that we were talking about off air. Marcus, besides that, how you doing today?
I'm doing lovely, man. I got a lot of sleep. Just ate Pizza Hut. Yes, Pizza Hut is very good once you have people in your ear telling you it ain't bad. I'm going to tell you that right now. But other than that, we good.
Wait, please tell me this isn't the first time you've had Pizza Hut.
No, of course not.
Okay, never mind. Okay.
But everybody always takes a dump on it. It's like, oh, Pizza Hut's not good. Da-da-da-da. Hey, man, once you're hungry and it's the only pizza place near you, you just got to grin and bear it. And it ain't even bad anyway. It is what it is.
What kind of people you hanging out with that think Pizza Hut's terrible? That's what I want to know.
Hey, man. Bad influences.
But I will say, if I ever go to like New York City and I have pizza there, I'm going to be dunking on every pizza place anywhere. Anywhere. I'm just saying that now. I'm going to say it now. It's not a shot. It's no shot at them. But yeah, I've heard New York pizza is just different. Just a different kind of goods. And tonight we have a special guest joining us because we're going to be previewing the Florida Gators baseball season. We actually have Florida pitcher Pierce Capala joining us tonight on the show. How you doing tonight, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. Long day. It's Thursday. Weekend's almost here. Super Bowl weekend is almost here. And anybody that's a guest on this show the weekend of the Super Bowl, they don't leave the show without giving a prediction. So we're going to put you on the spot later on. Yeah, it's great to have you on. We're honored to have you on. Thankful to Florida Victorious for actually putting this together. Shout out to my girl Jen. Thank you for putting this together. And speaking of which, that's kind of where I want to start. Kind of wanted to ask you about, you know, the work that you guys do with Florida Victorious and, you know, the way you guys give back to the community. Like, what is that like, you know, when you guys are able to go out there and do that?
Yeah, I mean, when we have free time, you know, once a month, the guys get out there and we do some charity work. As of right now, my favorite one was the Ronald McDonald House. And me and like five other teammates would go and cook a nice meal for, you know, people that need it and don't have the time to, you know, cook a home cooked meal when they're at the hospital and stuff. So, you know, that was probably my favorite one so far. But, you know, I've also helped build a house and I've also helped, you know, pack together a bunch of fresh produce for people that, you know, aren't able to get it for themselves. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's nice giving back to the community. So.
Yeah. I always see that from a lot of the athletes and I just get to thinking, you know, I know they have a great time doing this and it's great to see them out there giving back to the community. Cause me personally, I like doing that, donating to the charity as well. No, anytime I have a chance to do any of that, I try and get out there and do it. I mean, even as busy as my work schedule might be, I still try and find a way to do it. So I know for you guys is something that you guys love doing. So I love seeing it. And also, our co-host is finally joining in with his broken computer.
He's alive.
He's barely alive, but this is our other co-host, Jerry Brown here. Jerry. What's going on? Did you finally fix your computer?
That was on a potato.
My computer fixed itself. That's what happened.
Right. Jerry, you are on a potato, brother. I'm glad you were here.
Been working since freshman year of college, man, which is 7 years ago.
Yeah, that computer's on his last legs. Yeah, of course, we got Pierce Capala here joining us tonight. So, Pierce, another question I have for you. Honestly, just got to ask this because I know – This has been the case the last couple of years, but health wise, how are you feeling right now?
I feel really good. I started throwing bullpens like 2 weeks ago. So, you know, I'm still on a good pace to be back, you know, hopefully by end of March, early April. So, you know, it's been a long time. So I'm just excited to be able to throw and be healthy while doing that so far. So.
It'll be nice to have you back on there. Our only memory of you is that first Sunday start you had as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
You went five innings, and I don't think you gave up a run that game, did you?
No, I went 4 1/3, and my last pitch, I gave up a 2-run homer. So my last pitch at the University of Florida right now is a home run. So I got to get my get back soon.
Get back coming soon, baby. We believe in you.
Because before that, if you guys remember, before that, he was dominating on the mound that day. And I'm thinking, yeah, we got us another one here. I know Sully, he loves his pitches, but this guy, 6'8", throwing like this, yeah, we got us another one. But be great having you back on here. Jerry and Marcus, I know you guys got some questions as well.
Yeah, man. Go ahead, Marcus. You can start.
Nah, you go ahead, since you came in already.
Yeah, man, I just want to ask you, bro, like, what has it been like, you know, kind of like having to like wait and be patient, you know, in the midst of like adversity at UF, you know, coming in, you know, all this hype and everything, but, you know, having some obstacles, you know, in your way, man, what has it been like for you to kind of be patient in that time?
I mean, I'd say like my freshman year was more of like a learning curve. I wasn't really like ready for it. I was upset. Like, I wasn't really the best, like, I'd say teammate that year. I'd say like I just wasn't around as much as I should have been, I felt, and I was just upset, you know. It's my freshman year, I was a weekend starter, and just nothing went well for me. So when I came back my sophomore year and it happened again, I really like put my mind in a good spot, and I had the right people around me, and decided, you know, I needed to be a good teammate, and I can do something if I'm not playing. So I decided, you know, I just did everything I can while I'm at the field and try to be a good teammate, try to help guys through stuff. You know, I feel like last year's team and this year's team, I've been the guy that people come to talk to if they need some word of advice. Cause I mean, these guys have been able to play for, let's say like last year, these guys were able to play. And I just, you know, them looking at me is just like another like reason, like, hey, I can't play, but I'm here and I'm happy. I got a smile on my face, you know? So hopefully they learn from that. And, you know, I'm just happy to be around the guys. I feel like I'm a good person, good teammate to be around too. So my sophomore year, I think I grew up a lot, and that's why I was happy to be here and be around the right people for that.
That's yes, great, sir. Man. Personal growth is always big, especially coming in so young and dealing with all the things you dealt with. So during those times, who were probably the people you would say you leaned on the most for emotional support?
Chuck Drollman was a huge deal with my back. Cause you know, he said he always has like some back issues and stuff. He knew like backs aren't fun. You know, it's just a constant every day, like all the time thing. And he was always there for me. And then, you know, all my roommates some aren't here anymore, but you know, like Ty Evans and I mean, Derek Fabian was there for me, but you know, he's not here anymore, but you know, some teammates that helped me through, and I'm pretty much everybody on the team, but you know, certain guys definitely helped more than others, but and all helped in their different ways too. So
yeah, Mark, did you have anything to ask?
No, I think that's probably it for now, but that's always great to have people that you can, you know, teammates being great. And that's really because one of the things that we always heard from last year's team was that it was such a tight-knit group. A lot of good people, it was pretty much a family, and people like you on the team, that's always great to have, especially coming into this season.
So for me, another question I have for you, you know, kind of going back to when you were being recruited, what other schools did you consider, and what made you choose the University of Florida?
Yeah, I mean, I committed actually to the University of Virginia when I was a sophomore in high school. And as I started getting my name out there more and I started growing up, I realized I didn't want to go to a colder ACC school where I could go to a nice and warm SEC school. And I wanted to be I can play at the best school and the best conference as I could. So and Florida is the best school and the best conference you can play in for baseball. So, I mean, it was no doubter for me to make the switch, but also me and my family, like, they always want to come to Florida anyway. So it gives them an opportunity to come down and watch some baseball and stay in some nice warm weather, because New Jersey's not nice most of the time. So
Jersey's cold, dude.
I've never been to Jersey, but I know it gets cold up there, and I know pitching up there would be cold weather as a pitcher. No. I always good. Struggling out there. I know they're struggling because I know it's cold. I don't want to deal with it, but hey.
Hey, man, you came where it's hot when it comes to the weather, and you came where it's hot when it comes to competition. So that's always good.
Yeah.
So going back to high school, besides baseball, did you play any other sports?
Yeah, I mean, I played basketball until like my sophomore year, and then I decided I needed to gain some weight. I was like 6'4", like 165. So I needed like a true off season to get like right for baseball season. So I knew baseball was my future. So I had to take it more serious than when I was.
You know, baseball, yeah, it might be your future, but you know, being 6'8" now,
man, you grew into it.
I mean, if you were a sharpshooter, hey, you got 5 years, $100 million.
That's what I say. I was too skinny to be in the paint when I was in high school. That's why I learned how to shoot.
That's it. Chet Holmgren, man, you got to be Chet.
Yeah, they're getting $100 million right now.
Hey, man. It got $100 million, but if you grow in this baseball thing work out, you got $200 million.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, man. I want to ask that too, man. Like, as a baseball player at a big time university like Florida, like, of course, in the back of your head, you're like, I'm one season away from being like this highly rated prospect going into the big leagues. And then, like, I don't know, if it was me, man, I'd be like, dude, if I live up to what I could be $400 million in, you know, in the next 10 years of my life. So how is that, like, you know, does that ever cross your mind, man, like how much money you could possibly make at the next level?
I mean, yeah, it's always been a dream of mine, but, you know, it's just like, that's like more of my future. And it's just like, I'm way more excited about like winning a national championship right now than I am, you know, in professional baseball, you know? So, I mean, I got to get through a season here first before I can even leave this place. So
That's right.
Cool right now, but you know, obviously I have dreams and aspirations of playing pro ball and, you know, being as rich as I possibly can, but you know, I'm in love with baseball. It's just my life. So, you know, I'm be more happy to be able to play it first.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, those things will take care of itself, man. You just got to stay locked in, take it one day at a time. Remember why you're there, you know, take care of your teammates, be a good person and put in the work, and then, you know, you'll get what you want for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Speaking of living in the present when it comes to the season, we talked about a little bit off the air, but y'all pretty much hit the ground running in a month with the season starting, and y'all run into a gauntlet in conference play. So what's the mindset so far looking at the schedule and looking at what y'all got to do to get back to the College World Series?
Yeah, I mean, this year's a little different than last year, I'd say, just because, you know, there's a big freshman class and then more transfers came in. So because last year was – only like four freshmen and a couple transfers. So, you know, the guys were already tight and it was pretty easy to fit in like four guys. But this year we got like 20 freshmen and a bunch of transfers. So, you know, first and foremost, we want to get the camaraderie back and make sure we're a tight team, because that's what's been working and worked last year. So that was our goal in the fall. And right now is just get as close as we can to each other and make sure we're not scared to talk to each other about certain things. And, you know, sometimes you get a guy on some people's butts, but it's all love and everyone knows that. And we just got to teach everyone that. And that's how the way we roll. And right now we're just focused on week one. And, you know, St. John's is a tough team, New Yorkers. It's going to be a little taste of home for me. You know, it was the first school I got an offer from. So it's pretty cool to have them come up.
Oh, that's what's up.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah. So it'll be pretty cool. I mean, we're just focused on that week one and, you know, one game at a time, you know, and just get out of that. And I mean, we can't worry about SEC play until we get through Miami and all the first few weeks. So
that's always, for me personally, out of conference series that I look forward to every year.
Oh, yeah.
Play each other. I mean, you know, both teams are battling for some of the same recruits. They both are storied programs. So that's the one series, every out of conference series I'm looking at, that is the one I always circle, because I know it's going to be a good series. And I know they're going through a rebuilding phase right now because, you know, they got a new head coach. But, I mean, it's the University of Miami. They're still going to be talented. But
yeah, they still got guys. So
yeah. But looking at – I know you guys start the season with St. John's. Looking at everything you guys are doing right now, like, what is – like, if I don't know if you guys have looked at film and haven't looked at them yet, but – What is the one thing that you look them to see and you think, okay, yeah, this is a part of their game that, you know, we have to focus on to try and win this series?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of teams' goals when they play us is, you know, they're going to try to get our starters out of the game as quick as possible and try to make us work for runs and make the pitchers work through at bats. You know, they're not always going to have like 1-2-3 pitch at bats and stuff. You know, those teams are always kind of harder, I feel like, to pitch to, because I mean, they're coming here, they're trying to cut our head off, and sometimes, you know, we might take them not serious, and you know, maybe to catch us off guard. So those teams are always out for our heads, and they always have good games against us somehow. And you know, that we might have better recruits, but you know, they have a lot of heart too. So we always got to be ready for that. And those teams are, teams are tough sometimes. It's baseball too, and you know, anything can happen. So
yeah, baseball's that one sport where you're like, yeah, literally anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's always hard to keep energy up, like from game to game. But playing teams like those, I always felt like when I played sports, was always the most fun thing to do, because it always kept you as a player accountable, mm-hmm. and always made sure you were up and made sure everybody else around you was ready to out there go win a game. And mm-hmm. that's what gets you ready. That's what makes you ready to play in conference. That's what gets you ready to play in the World Series when you get these tough teams outside all throughout the country. So it's always going to be, it's always a good challenge.
So Jerry, you had any questions?
Not anymore, really, man, outside of those two. I guess if I had a last one, I would say, like, what are your expectations going into this season? And, you know, like, I know how it ended last year. Actually, I was at the airport about to head back from Indiana, and I was, like, in pain. But what are your expectations this year, man? And, like, how do you feel like the team will evolve throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, I mean, the expectation for us should always be, you know, going to Omaha and have a chance to win a national championship. I'd say this year, I think that our main focus is just going to be growing as a team, because we are young and we are new. So I think it's going to take some time for us to look like perfect in our eyes. You know, it's not always going to be perfect, but you know, we're a young team and people are gonna have to grow up pretty quickly. And you're going to see that, you know, sometimes you're going to see a little something that might not be good, but you know, it's the point of having a young team. It's happened my freshman year. I mean, we were 6-12 in conference my freshman year, and you know, we were a young team just like this team, and we ended up 15-15, but I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think we're going to dominate still, but you know, it's that learning curve that these freshmen and transfers have to find out first. So
yeah, speaking of transfers, you guys got a couple of guys in that honestly I'm more interested in these two guys. You know, Kobe Shelton coming in from Alabama, and then the other guy that I'm intrigued by, that I'm hearing a lot about, is Liberty transfer Jalen Guy. So with those two guys, what have you seen from those two guys so far that, you know, that's really impressed you about them?
Yeah, I'll start with Jalen. I mean, Jalen came in, he's gained like 25 pounds pure muscle. He's still like 10% body fat. I mean, he's a hard worker. He looks good too. And he's a great outfielder. He's grown a lot since he's gone here. I mean, he's just a good guy you want around the locker room. I mean, he's an older dude. He knows, he's seen it. You know, he works hard. People should look up to him. If they don't, they're not looking at the right people. And I'd say Colby Shelton, he's something else, man. When he came in, I heard people would say like he's not a shortstop, he's not this, he's not that, but he's totally transformed his body too. He's leaned out, he's gotten more athletic than what we saw him last year when we played him against Alabama. But he looks like a shortstop to me right now, so I'm pretty excited about him.
These are to my ears.
Yeah, no. So another thing I wanted to ask, you know, because I know you guys while on campus, even during the offseason, you guys kind of you have a little bit of an opportunity to go see other teams play, another sports play. So you personally, did you go to like any of the football games during the season while there?
Yeah, I mean football games, I mean, they're always fun to go to. The only problem I have with it is always standing. Like sometimes I just want to sit down and just watch the game, but like, I mean,
it's hilarious.
It's a part of it too. I mean, I want to be like rowdy and I want to like, you know, affect the other team, but sometimes I'm just like, I just want to sit down for like a couple minutes and just watch and enjoy a game, because you know it's you just don't get to do that when you're in like a student section. You're always standing up screaming. So
oh yeah,
but I mean, our football games are fun, man.
Well, that
shoot, man. How do you think people feel behind you, bro? You're 6'8". Nobody sees anything,
right?
I always stand like it goes like the bleacher, and then I stand like on the concrete so people can see over me. I feel so bad. I'm always like looking behind me. I'm like, can you see? Like I'm like.
Yeah, because I know going to games that can be an issue. I do agree with that. But
yeah, you go to campus, your phone doesn't work. I'm like, guess I'm not using this for the rest of the day.
And then how the stadium is, like, you're pretty much shoulder to shoulder with people.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Now, speaking of which, like, what is that experience like? You know, the highs and lows of a game, like when they have a big win or if it's a loss on the field, like. What is that experience like for you as a fan there?
I say all the time, I mean, that when we played Utah home, I mean, that interception happened, I think like we had an earthquake in Gainesville. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better than that. That feeling was insane. I mean, like, just can't beat it. I mean, it's a swamp, it's gonna be loud. It's kind of scary, honestly, how loud that place can get. So
yeah, it's funny. You've referenced that game. I've seen on social media after that game, a couple of writers from Utah they posted videos after the game walking out of the stadium saying, you know, we heard stories about the swamp and, you know, how loud it can get. But that was by far every single one of them said that is the loudest stadium they had ever been in. Their ears were still ringing. We actually had a Utah writer on last year before that game. And, of course, you know, he says his first time going there. He told us the same thing after the game. That was the loudest stadium he has ever been in. So, yeah, first of all, I'm not even going to lie, watching that game and seeing Utah drive down the field, I was a little afraid that over the bag right there and lose. Like we did all this hard work to get this lead back here. But all in right, crash right here. Then Amari Burney jumps in front of that that ball and picks it off. And I don't think I've ever jumped higher in my house than I did. It's like at the 1 yard line, I'm like, yes. Somehow, some way, we have to survive this game. Yeah. And you know, they win again. You're thinking, oh, it's gonna be a hell of a season. And then all of a sudden,
it was a hell of a season, all right. Season from hell.
Literally.
Literally, yeah. But, now, for you personally, as a pitcher, like, what are you looking to improve on, you know, mechanics-wise, you know, just to improve just as a pitcher in general?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like ever since I had, like, my surgeries, you know, I'm obviously not going to feel like I used to just because how it works. I'm getting older, too. I feel weird saying that, but I can actually kind of feel it now. It's weird, but, you know, I just, like, moving my body differently and figuring out, like, how I used to throw it, because it's been a long time. I mean, I did throw last fall, but I was just coming out of my back surgery, so I wasn't really 100% yet. So, and then I had shoulder surgery, so I just got to figure out my body and how it moves right now, and trying to get back to the mechanics I used to have. And some things are going to change too, because I'm a different human now. I'm 260 pounds versus 215 I was before all this. So, you know, it's a lot different, but I enjoy it. I love mechanics. I love looking into that stuff. So I have fun with it.
That's what's up. And also, like, as a taller pitcher, because there's not too many guys who are 6'8 out there on the mound. So how is it the adjustment for you with the strike zone and all that type of stuff?
I guess it's just something I've always dealt with. So I really haven't, like, noticed it. I mean, but as a hitter, if I was a hitter, it'd be a lot different, you know, but. You know, pitchers, they say it's hard for tall guys to replicate and stuff, but I've really never had problems with that stuff because I've always worked hard on mechanics and making sure my body was right before games and stuff. So I've never really had problems, but, you know, it's part of the learning curve and getting stronger and gaining the weight. You know, the weaker you are, the less repetitive and longer arms and stuff. So, I mean, it's fun, but I never really had problems with it after I gained the weight I needed after I quit basketball. So,
so all it took was putting the basketball down and getting right back in the gym. And look where you're at now.
Yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah, I'm speaking of different human beings. Jack Caglione. Oh my God.
Alien.
Yeah. First of all, I kind of need you to set the record straight about him because we feel like he was made in a lab.
Oh yeah.
We just want to know if you can confirm that, because that is a human being that I've never seen somebody who can throw 100 miles an hour and then pretty much hit a ball into the next galaxy. What he does, what is it like playing with him, what is it like watching him just as a hitter when you're obviously in the bullpen or in the dugout watching him hit the ball? What is that experience like?
I mean, it's like sometimes he'll just hit a home run and we'll just laugh and be like, it's unfair. Like, you shouldn't be allowed to do it. It's just, I mean, the guy works hard. He deserves everything. You know, I'm happy for him. You know, he went through something in high school. He had TJ and he didn't play really his whole freshman year until, you know, he was finally cleared to hit and he started blowing up a little bit. But, you know, the guy worked hard and you can tell he changed his body a lot since he was in high school, and he's a strong guy. And, you know, it's kind of amazing watching him do what he does. You know, it's kind of hard on your body. I mean, the guy plays next few weeks, he'll play 5 games a week and he'll be pitching in one. So, I mean, you know, he definitely takes care of his body and definitely does the right thing he needs to do to be able to play 5 games a week and pitch in one of them and still be the best hitter and one of the best pitchers in college baseball. So,
and speaking of the whole playing, pitching in one game and playing 5 games a week deal he has to do, as a full-time pitcher, like, what's usually the process for you personally getting ready in between starts and staying ready and making sure you're able to go out there and pitch?
Yeah, I mean, week to week is a lot easier than what some other guys have to do. I mean, being a starter is a little more, it's much nicer. I mean, because you got guys like Blake Purnell throwing, and Brandon Neely throwing like 40 games a year, and you're like, oh, I don't know how they're doing that, you know. But starters got a little easier. They got a whole week. They have their routine set, and it's a lot easier, you know, when, you know, I'm throwing on this day every week, and you have a set plan. I'm throwing a bullpen on this day. I'm recovering this day. I'm not throwing that day. So, I mean, for starters, it's definitely a lot easier to keep your body in check. I mean, you are throwing, you know, probably 80 to 100 pitches, probably a start if you're doing good. But definitely, I think the starters have it a lot easier than some of these relievers and closers like Neely has to throw, you know, probably maybe 3 times a weekend if we really need them. So.
And speaking of pitchers, the only thing I would hate about being a pitcher is having to run poles every day. I already know, like, that can take a toll on you. Saw that in high school. I'm watching pitchers every day. I'm like, yeah. Kind of glad I'm not a pitcher. I'm kind of glad I'm not a pitcher right now, because this right here, look, I do enough of this playing football.
No smoke.
I don't want none of that. Oh, what's the problem?
Hey, we got Sunday fun day for pitchers on every week, so we don't run on those days, which is fun. That's the best day we have.
You said Sunday fun day, and I immediately thought that is probably the worst day for pitchers.
The way it sounds, it's like,
yeah, we take ground balls on our turf field, and we don't have to run that day. That's our like relaxing day, I guess.
Right, because I know, because running poles, I'm gonna go ahead. If you guys have ever ran poles, I'm gonna tell you right now, like, you're running and they seem like they're close, but as you keep running, you're getting closer. It seems like the pole's just going.
It's like a mirage in the desert.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what it's like. But another pitcher I wanted to ask you about was freshman Liam Peterson. Mm-hmm. We had a writer on last week. And we kind of asked his thoughts about him, and we're hearing a lot of good things about him. So, what have you seen from him so far? Him just being a true freshman.
I mean, he's very mature, I'd say, when he was on the mound as a pitcher. I mean, he's dominating. I mean, it's hard to, like, you kind of want a freshman to fail, I'd say, at some point before the season starts to see, like, how they respond to it. But, I mean, the guy hasn't thrown bad since he's been here, so it's kind of nuts. But, I mean, like, he's got every pitch you need. He's lands his curveball. He throws a good heater. I mean, he's probably one of the best curveballs I've seen, you know, since I've been here. And I've seen a bunch of guys, pretty good ones. So, I mean, he works hard. He's always in that training room. He's always working on his body. He's making sure he's staying healthy. So, I mean, I mean, I'm excited to watch him pitch against another team besides us. And I think he's going to be a dog. So,
speaking of pitches, what would you say is your best pitch or your go-to strikeout?
Yeah. I mean, mine's probably a fastball. I mean, my only start that I had here, I threw like 86 pitches. I think 81 of them were fastballs. So,
dang.
I mean, I'd probably say my heater is definitely my go-to-er.
If it broke, don't if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right, because you know we usually get a lot of we usually hear a lot of pitchers just say, "Oh, it's a slider," or it's. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice to actually hear another pitcher say, "No, my fastball is my go-to pitch."
Yeah.
Oh, it's really nice to hear. Really nice to hear that. You just don't.
Because it's like, hey man, I'm throwing 98 or whatever I got on when it's velocity. Go get it.
Exactly. Heavy flex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 98 being thrown at you, I'm going to tell you right now, it's scary. But I will say, like me personally, even in high school, I faced a guy that's currently pitching for the Philadelphia Phillies right now. He recently just signed with him. And I will openly admit he struck me out on three pitches. I had no problem with this fastball because I fouled them both off. I had no problem with the fastball. It was his changeup that's what got me. Because like it looked like a fastball, it looked great. It was down the middle, and then it was like as soon as my bat got here, that's when it just and then I kind of just looked down like, all right.
You took the keys, bro. Come ahead, keys now. Is it y'all be easy? Take care.
Well, I see the hype and why he's projected to get drafted, and now he's with the Phillies. So, but yes, seeing different pitchers, I enjoy watching because I see the work they put in. Like last year, you know, it was Hurston and Brandon, seeing what they did, and I know that leadership is there. So, who do you think in that pitching rotation? Like, who's the guy you guys are looking at to take on that leadership role for the guys?
Yeah, I mean Neely's probably the most experienced guy. I mean, he's been throwing since his freshman year. He's been starting since his freshman year, and last year he was a closer. So, I mean, he's definitely the guy that people are probably going to look to and help us through. And I'd like to say me too, I guess. I mean, I've been pitching since I've been here a lot, but, I mean, I've been watching and been in every game, and I've seen, you know, Brandon Sproat and Hurston Waldrop go through their good games and their bad games. And I've watched them, you know, have a good game, even though they don't have their best pitch or their best curveball. And so I've learned a lot from them just by watching. And, you know, I can spread the how to get through it. And I think a lot of guys come to me for help for that stuff too. And I think people trust me with that word. And, you know, Sully and Cop, you know, definitely praise the players to come to me and, or Neely or Jack, if they need help. And we do have older guys on the pitching staff, and they're going to have to step up and help the younger guys through it.
Right. Jerry, Mark, you guys had any more questions for Pierce?
I think I'm pretty slowed out on those, actually.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good. But I think I've asked everything I need to ask.
Yeah, well, there's one that we – of course, I had to ask because we do appreciate you for taking time out of your day.
Absolutely,
no, thanks for having me.
We can't let you go without a Super Bowl 58 prediction between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. So, who do you have winning the game, and who would you pick as your MVP of the game?
I mean, I really don't want the Chiefs to win, but you cannot go against Pat Mahomes in the playoffs. I mean, he's I really don't want, you know, the Taylor Swift and stuff. I think it's annoying. I think it's so annoying, but I think the Chiefs defense is real good. I think if they run the ball effectively, I think they'll win the game. But I mean, I'd probably say I think Chiefs win. I think Rashee Rice could maybe win MVP. I think he's gonna have a big game.
That's actually a good pick.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's actually a really good pick. That's one that nobody would expect. But and by the way, I don't know if you want to say that out loud about Taylor Swift. The Swifties, they're gonna be doxing people now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want that to happen.
I think it's awesome for like, I mean, the the name. I think it's blowing up. Everything's blowing up, but I think it's a little overboard right now.
Absolutely, it is.
For me, overboard would be if the Chiefs win and all of a sudden Travis Kelce proposes to it. Oh my gosh.
Please don't speak
that. That would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious, but then at that point, I'm done. Because like, I did pick the Chiefs to win as well. But I just don't get why they're villains. I mean, I know they're winning a lot, but I mean.
You just answered the question.
They just know how to win. The Chiefs are they're that team where just get them in the postseason and watch them work. That's pretty much what they are. It hurts me to say the Chiefs for one reason, because I actually have a cousin that plays for the 49ers right now, Khalil Davis. So, and I know his dad's watching. I know his dad's probably watching this right now. Look, I'm sorry. Sorry, Kenny. Yeah. My cousin 2 weeks ago to bet against Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. I know we family, but man, I'm sorry. I can't do it. And on top of that, y'all beat my Cowboys the way y'all did. I'm still upset.
Be all right.
Yeah, you'll be all right, bro.
Yeah, we appreciate you for taking time here today and joining us. Let everybody know where they can follow you on social media and everything, and about Florida Victorious and what you guys do there.
Yeah, I mean, my Instagram is just my first and last name, just Pierce Capola. And, you know, I do have a little highlight reel of what we do out for Florida Victorious. You'll see a couple pictures and see a couple of the guys, you know, showing what kind of charity work we do. And thanks for Florida Victorious for putting this together. And, you know, I'm happy to be, you know, with them and helping out the community in any way we can. So it's much needed.
Yeah, man, we definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Enjoyed this great conversation. We're looking forward to watching you guys this season, so we appreciate it, man.
All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you for coming on, brother.
That was Florida Gators pitcher Pierce Capola, who I'm looking forward to watching when he gets back in action. It's going to be probably SEC play. So I'm looking forward to watching him pitch whenever that happens, because I'm telling y'all right now, his pitching is elite. He has electric stuff. Y'all are going to enjoy it.
Just a matter of being healthy, you know, being that leader that he has to be. And that's just something that we need overall, man, you know, to get through the season. Is like we said, we have a gauntlet schedule. And every bit of his arm is going to be needed to get through this season.
Yeah, it definitely will. We got some young guys on that pitching staff, and he's one of the veterans. So, you know, we're definitely going to need him. And you know, pitching is going to be if we win a national championship, in my opinion, it's going to be because of pitching.
We saw the reason why we didn't win one was because, well.
I think honestly that game was just LSU just had
hammered it. That, like, the pitching was always kind of a thing where it was like, I ain't gonna say hold on for dear life, but there were games where it would just be like, okay, just please save us hitting staff. Please save us, Jack. Hopefully you're on today. But that was just an avalanche. Like that was one of those anomalies where, yes, it's sort of kind of in line with some things that happened during the year. But not to that degree.
It was get back.
Honestly, for me, I think that game in particular, because Florida really honestly did not pitch bad at all. They were hitting their locations.
And then they just got hit in those locations. it just kind of was what it was that day, you know?
Yeah, LSU, that was one of those games, like you said, it was an anomaly. LSU just couldn't miss that game. That's pretty much all it was. It wasn't like, oh, they were missing all locations. They were throwing bad pitches.
They just got hit. Sometimes you just get hit. You know?
Sometimes, because Florida did that to teams numerous times last year. So.
Yeah, like they were in the World Series for a reason, because they do that to people. They've done it all year to teams. So it was just that day. Sometimes baseball is just like that.
And sometimes, like, you'd rather that happen early in the season, you know? So, like, I'm always sketched if I see, you know, an anomaly. If I don't see an anomaly happen going into like a big series or something, I'm like, oh, shoot. You know, at some point the wheels got to fall off type vibe, but
right. It's unfortunate. That's man. Always kind of at the back of your head. Like eventually, like the snowball gets bigger and bigger and bigger until finally it just rolls all over you.
Yep, that's exactly it.
And speaking of, and we brought up the Super Bowl. I wouldn't be remiss if I didn't bring up the guys. Shout out to the guys in the Super Bowl, former Gators, for the Chiefs. They're actually all for the Chiefs.
Joker.
So we got Kadarius Toney, Tommy Townsend, LaMichael Perine, and
did you say Juwan?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Oh, rest in peace to his grandmother. That's
yeah. Rest
first and foremost.
Yeah, prayers up to Juwan Taylor and his family. You know, he recently lost his grandmother. Yeah, we're definitely gonna keep you in our prayers, man.
Hey, AB, who else in the Super Bowl, bro?
There's one more. Trey Dean.
Super Bowl champion.
Oh, he on the roster?
No, where he?
He's on the Chiefs.
Yeah, he.
No way.
Yes, bro.
He plays for the Chiefs.
He's a Chief.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he plays for the Chiefs. So those are the five former Gators that are in the Super Bowl on Sunday. So if you're a Gator fan, you want to root for them. And honestly, I think Juwan Taylor is starting at right tackle. Kadarius Toney, he's cleared to play now. He's cleared from his injury. He's been practicing. Say he goes good out there. So
they're going to use him for a gadget to get a touchdown, bro. Hilarious.
No, you know where he's going to make. You know where he's really going to make another play though.
That would be hilarious.
He's gonna do that thing where he does. Though he has like the weirdest season of all time. That has one special teams playing the biggest game of the season.
And they've been practicing punt returns this week, so
KT's going to be known as one of the most clutch punt returners in NFL.
Super I mean, KT is what he is, but he's better than Richie James. I'll take him all day every day over Richie James.
Speaking of that, former Gator Fred Taylor, tonight actually we find out who the finalists are, who are going with the guys that are going to be being inducted into the Pro Football
Hall. We know two so far, according to sources.
Devin Hester is one. Who's the other one?
Steve McMichael.
Devin Hester and Steve McMichael. Wait, he's inducted as a player?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
for the Bears. He was on the 85 Bears team, so.
Yeah, so we got those two that we know of so far, and I'm gonna be honest, as much as I hate Miami, Devin Hester did deserve to get in.
That man's golden, bro. I don't care. Nobody.
He's the greatest punt returner ever. It's not even close.
Like, what he did is a punt return. Like, this man changed games. Like, this is a guy who lost the Super Bowl. He ran to open the kickoff back for a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Also, that's the only thing. That's also the only thing anybody remembers from that Super Bowl, too. So.
No, literally, bro. Like, yeah.
That's full stump.
Fun fact, former Gator Rex Grossman was the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
And Zach White didn't win it.
Hey, he got them there. I ain't gonna say he was the reason why they didn't win. Peyton Manning,
did he though?
I mean, Peyton Manning was just on another level that year.
He may stunk those playoffs. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he was apparently like bad in
those playoffs.
Truth be told, I'm gonna say this: you knew they were gonna probably win the Super Bowl when he finally got past Tom Brady.
He had to win eventually. I mean,
yeah.
Well, it was. But yeah, we find out whether Fred Taylor gets in. If he doesn't get in, I have a problem. Being the Hall of Fame gonna really have a problem at this point.
Yeah,
I've been having problems with the Hall of Fame, bro. Plus, it's double whammy. One, being a Gator fan, and also being a Jaguars fan. Put that man in the Hall.
I mean, you guys put Tony Boselli in, and he didn't play anywhere near as long as Fred Taylor did.
I mean, he should have got in, but
yeah, he should have. I can say he shouldn't have. He should have.
But if you play like three more years, he would have been the first ballot. I mean, it's not the most egregious thing in the world.
Yeah, but Fred Taylor not being in is egregious because he's, what, 17th all-time in rushing? The other 16 guys ahead of him are in.
And he was just as good, if not better, than a lot of the guys in his era. But he kept getting that stupid Fragile Freddy tag through his whole career. Yeah. It hurt. And he only made one Pro Bowl. One.
Well, when you keep getting hurt, that happens. But at the same time, I mean,
he wasn't even that injured, though. Like, think about it. Like, the year he made it was 07, which is more of a thank you Pro Bowl. When that time he was splitting carries with Maurice Jones-Drew.
I was about to say, yeah, he was splitting carries with Mojo at that time, you know.
Yeah, here were some of the years where he did make a Pro Bowl. Let me pull it up real quick. Y'all close there real quick.
And by the way,
Marcus,
if you look at the running
here were the seasons that he did, which he didn't make a Pro Bowl. Here are the yards he had. In his rookie year, he had a little over 1,200 yards on 4.6 yards a carry and 14 rushing touchdowns. And he had just under 1,400 in 2000 with 12 rushing touchdowns. Played all 16 games in 2002. He had over 1,400 with 8 touchdowns on 4.6 a carry. The best year of his career, when it came to rushing yards, he ran for almost 1,600 in 2003. He had 6 touchdowns.
Jeez.
Did make the Pro Bowl. Followed up with over 1,200, 4.7 yards a carry. Didn't make a Pro Bowl. And over 1,100 yards in 2006, 5 touchdowns, didn't make a Pro Bowl. Barely over 12. Well, this time he had over five yards a carry, but again, split in carries. Finally made it.
Well, you got to think also who was in the AFC at that time. Like, yeah. LT was, you know, so.
Yeah, so you still, had him, bro. You had Corey.
Yeah.
Corey Dillon.
I mean, Eddie George, even like, Ricky Williams was in Miami, you know, so.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, I mean.
It was loaded.
But it's pretty much like the NBA All-Star game. You wonder why some players don't make it. It's like.
Bro, yeah.
It's like the years Devin Booker wasn't making. It's like, look at the guys that are in the Western Conference at his position. Like,
that's kind of wild. Even with Ricky, though, the only year he didn't make it, did he? No.
Oh, my God. See, that's what we're talking about. Like,
It was either him or Steph. And they chose Steph. But even better, like Ricky Williams, the only year where he was, like, better than Fred Taylor was 2002.
Mm-hmm.
We had, like, damn near 2,000 yards and 60 touchdowns. So, I mean, you got to have him there. Other than that, I mean, he was good, but he didn't have nearly the numbers Fred did.
Right.
Oh, look, Omar. I mean, Mike Tomlin's there.
Relax.
Are you kidding?
You know Mike Tomlin, Omar Epps are doppelgangers. You know they're good.
You're not wrong.
I kind of want to get into
Mike.
I kind of want to get into the basketball team, bro.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. The basketball team, FAU is also currently playing, Gary.
Oh, how are we doing?
It's 6-4. The game just started.
Okay. Okay.
Well, yeah, I figured that game just started because I knew it was the late game tonight.
All right.
And, we got on this podcast last week, people, and pretty much said, you know, we had Hector Rodriguez on from Rivals.com, first and 10 Florida. And we pretty much asked the question, does Florida have any shot whatsoever at going into Rupp Arena and coming out with a win? We all literally said, just win Saturday.
Consensus. That was the consensus.
You can't make it up.
Like, yeah, you can't make this up. People, not only did we not win on Saturday, even though it was a blatant screw job in the second half of that game, but we went into Rupp Arena where it was 5-on-8. And still came out with a win.
Bro.
You can't make it up.
No, you can't make it up, bro. And it was just, once again, Walter Clayton, that guy, special talent. Riley Kugel's coming along. I think what made a difference, man, is just our toughness inside at Rupp. You know, like, we didn't ever crumble. Tyrese Samuel had a heck of a game.
Was my MVP for that game. I know a lot of people want to talk about Walter Clayton Jr. and Zion Poole. They both had great games.
Oh, my gosh.
Tyrese Samuel on the inside, 22 points and 13 rebounds against a guy – I can't pronounce the guy's name in Kentucky. He had a –
They always have a big-time African guy, bro, with a receding hairline playing center every year.
And he had a huge game, especially block shots. He had like 8 blocks. 6 of them came in the first half. So he was having a generational game. And Tyrese Samuel still held his own. And was able to him and Mike Hanlon, they're both getting boards up there. So we pretty much said like they needed to have big games, and they did. Now Hanlon didn't score wise, but what he did on the defensive end and just rebounding in general, he doesn't help out with those rebounds. We don't win that game.
Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, you know, because they are a well balanced team. I'll say this is probably one of the best shooting teams I've seen Kentucky have in years.
Oh, they're so fun to watch.
They,
oh man, him and Reed Shepard, they are cold.
Shepard is just,
that's a team you gotta take it to them because, yes, they can shoot and they can get down the paint, the court on you. Yep. But if you don't perk them in the paint, if you don't rebound, if you don't play tough, if you don't communicate, they're gonna kill you. Yep. And thankfully, we managed to do that just well enough. We managed to shoot well out with them and go shot for shot. So that carries through and shot. No Walter Clayton three against regulation.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. I was like, what? But,
yeah. This is where our favorite quarter won that game, though.
Uh-huh.
Remember, late in the first half, it's 41-31, Kentucky's up.
That late push.
That last stretch, they hit a three and got a stop, got another layup. They cut the lead down to five and then got a stop at the end, went in at halftime down 41-36. That's where, and then they continued that run in the second half. They actually went on basically an 11-0 run because they took a 42-41 lead early in the second half. That's where I feel like they actually won the game.
You know what's funny? That's what lost them the game on Saturday.
Yeah, it is.
I told you in the group chat I was going to kill them.
Yep. That's always how it is. How you close a half is literally like the most important part of a game outside of the finish.
I was like, don't give a team life at home.
Mm-mm.
It was that and the fact that Texas A&M in the second half had 20 free throw attempts to Fortis. Two.
Well, don't foul, I guess. And we kept shooting late in the clock.
Yeah.
Bro, some of them calls were like not even fouls, man.
Oh, some of them, yeah. Some of them, I do agree with.
But some of them, like, what? Like, he didn't even touch on. Like, it got to a point where if you breathed on them, they were blowing the whistle.
Oh, I fully agree, but at the same time, you can't play offense the way we did in the half and expect to get calls on the road.
Who's letting, bro? My question is because I love Zion, but anytime Zion is over dribbling the ball and we're deep into the shot clock. We're not going to get a bucket, man. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Nothing good happens.
No, because he's not going to take a lot of these three-point shots that are open. He's trying to get a midi.
And he went, and the offense in the first half was beautiful. He went inside out. He kicked out the shooters. The guys inside did their job. And they played awesome when it came to rebounding and toughness in interior defense. Like, Hal put a phenomenal game. Didn't score a lot of points, but he had a hell of a game.
Yep.
Same with Hal, the same with all those guys. But also at the same time, it probably was a game you probably need him to score just a touch more, just with the way it played out. But not going to kill him too much because they did do their job on the other end of the floor. We just didn't play very well offensively that second half. We everything was so late in the clock. It just kind of dribbled, and then all of a sudden they saw 4 seconds and they had to put a shot up. Then you let them get life. But you can't let guys like Wade Taylor in.
Will Wade, he was just on the prowl. He was just waiting, bro. And that guy is a gator. When we talk about killers of teams,
he's an everything Will killer, bro.
He's a gator killer. He's the Ish Smith.
Give him shots. Gator. Give him shots. He's going to eventually see a couple go down, and then boom, you can't stop him.
Well, I'm gonna be honest. I don't know why one of the guys that played for them even played because don't understand that one. Had that been any other team?
He's also a gator killer.
Still should have won the game, regardless of all that.
But I will also say, looking at that game, of course I'm pissed that we lost, but at the same time, like, you know what? I can't be as upset because we did split the games. We thought was gonna happen. Just not the way we thought it would happen. But
I mean, we got a quad one win out of that, you know. So I mean,
inching closer to another one, the more Pittsburgh wins. They got a win over NC State last night, so that inches forward closer to another quad one win. And also, there's another team. I think there's another team that keeps winning. That Richmond beat them earlier this year. The more they win, the more that might become a quad one win. Florida could have quad one wins within a few weeks. So,
man, all we got to do is take care of what we take care of. Like, if we could beat Auburn, South Carolina, you know, we got Tennessee again at home, I believe. We have these opportunities, man. It's just up to us to kind of convert on them. If we win those games, we should make the tournament.
Yeah, I think they're going to make the tournament anyway, you know, with the way they're playing. Especially if they get a win this weekend. They get a win over Auburn. They got Auburn this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off a big win over Alabama last night and a dominant win, I must say.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they.
Uh-huh. Bro, I missed it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they looked good that day. It looked very, very good.
They looked really good. We'll have our hands full with Janai Broome, but I think we have this year, we have the horses inside to compete with Janai Broome. I don't think he's going to have it as easy as he did last year. So, yeah,
as far as tournament goes, I wouldn't exactly say this or anything. These are games you have to really win.
Yeah,
it's going to pay dividends down the road. So just hopefully they lock in. Hopefully they manage to shake off what happened last week and just come out with it.
Yeah, I think they will. And this was their midweek bye week. Like, they were the team this week to have a midweek bye week. So they're playing this Saturday. And, hey, you, like I said, you get a win this week, you bolster your resume even more. But if Florida ends up being on the bubble, this is why I think they're a surefire team to get in. That road win over Kentucky. That road win over Kentucky is what's going to push them over the edge. Because if you look at all the other bubble teams, what other win will teams have? What other win?
A win at Rupp is like top of the line. You know what I'm saying? So
the only one that could possibly compete if they're both on the bubble would be Clemson earlier this week. Yesterday, actually, I believe, beating North Carolina on the road.
What about Texas A&M?
I think Texas A&M will get in anyway. If you looked at their non-conference schedule, it was rough.
They played us.
And then they beat us. So we made the tournament. If they have a good resume, how can we leave them out?
It's going to be the SEC tournament, man. We got to win at least one game.
I will say if they had managed to pull up the FAU win, they would have been like – lockup.
Yeah, that's why he missed indisputable evidence, because this is what he was trying to do.
Oh man.
Hey man, he was trying to get Broward, you know?
Oh man. Bro, I've been trying to get him. Man, I ain't gonna lie, bro. I don't know about y'all. This is off topic. I don't know about y'all, but I've never seen Pollen this excessive in early February. Like, I was my head's killing me. Like, oh my gosh. So surviving pollen. That's what we're trying to do.
No, really, it's like a combination of pollen and also it being so cold here.
The weather.
It's gonna food. Y'all make sure y'all take y'all meds, bro. Vitamins, because the food is like.
Drink water. Okay. Get your vitamin C.
There's something going around here, too. Where people catch a cold.
People got diarrhea.
We had somebody in my job test positive this week. Somebody in my job had to be sent home this morning because they test positive for COVID.
Bro.
They had to be sent home. So, I mean, y'all take care of yourselves out there. It's some stuff going around. I mean, this is around the time where it happens. But also the weather changing. That pretty much what it is. Yeah, he was in Vegas, and we started talking about this. We all, Jerry, going to Vegas, man. I don't care what you say, we all going. We're going to pull our money together and go.
You're going
But we're going to do it.
You're going to Vegas, huh? I know why you want to go out there, bro. You want to slide by Arizona State.
Yeah, Vegas and Arizona State is like 4 hours away from Vegas.
That ain't nothing.
It is if you're trying to drive.
But it ain't nothing, man.
I want to go to Vegas to see the scenery. I'm not even really necessarily worried about everything on the strip. I kind of want to see everything off the strip. You know what I mean? Like, just see the scenery, like the Grand Canyon and all of that. I'm going
to walk the road. You may be the first person to ever say, I want to go to Vegas for the Grand Canyon.
I'm already going to Arizona later this year. So,
oh, bro, you got to. Hey, I'll let you know the spots, man. Some of the spots we went to. You got to try them for sure.
Yeah, I think I'll be in Phoenix, Scottsdale, and then Sedona.
AB, Sedona, bro, I'm telling you, Sedona is bomb. Bomb.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that one because I will be out there. This will be another stat I can mark off my list. I don't know how many that is, not counting Florida. You see Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, North Carolina, Tennessee, California. Thank you. Arizona be my ninth state that I've been to, if I count Florida.
Got you.
My ninth state. So I'm kind of checking that off.
That's the vibe, bro. That's the vibe. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to have to get out there. Jerry and Marcus, look, I will say this. The only thing that I'd be worried about us going to Vegas is a certain somebody on here gambles the money away, and we end up like Will and Carlton on the Fresh Prince.
Ooh, not me.
That ain't me.
The only difference is Mark is going to be the one getting thrown into a wall.
What?
While the other one is.
Hold on.
That is funny.
Why gotta be me?
It ain't finna be me.
You finna gamble your life savings and your damn hotel room number away because you finna invite Latina to the room and she gonna rob you when you sleep.
First of all, I won't be doing that. my thing is, if I gamble and I win, I'm probably gonna be out.
Well, you gonna be out, all right?
No, I'm probably gonna be out because
I'm not gonna even.
And a lot of people do that. Like, they gamble, they win, they're like, all right, that's it. I don't want to lose nothing.
They're going to find you in the bunny ranch with your wallet missing and your pride gone.
That's going to be good. That's going to be
No, sir.
Jerry's
no,
a man. Sir. Jerry's a man of God.
That's right.
Hey, even a man of God makes mistakes.
That man bringing his Bible. He is praying before he goes to the bed, the hotel. He makes sure he getting his damn motivationals, all that. Come on, now.
I am.
Oh my God. That is wild. Oh my
God. Beforehand.
Remember that episode, man. Martin was shook. Martin was absolutely shook when that happened.
Oh, I wanted to ask y'all real quick, though, before we kind of slide off, because I know we pretty much run out of topics. But apparently, Billy Napier kind of hinted at him being more of a head coach.
Sure.
Yeah.
What does this mean? Cryptic messages. What does this mean?
Yeah, what does he mean by that?
It did seem very cryptic. It kind of made me think, and I would have to ask around, of course, but it kind of made me think he's trying to be more of a CEO and kind of oversee everything. It made me not be as involved, because I think if he hires an offensive coordinator, it might be Russ Callaway, because he hinted at him getting more responsibilities. And if that happens,
Marcus Dick.
So I'm saying, well, I will say this. The reason why would be
hell, bro.
Let's be honest. A lot of offense coordinator candidates may think he's on the hot seat. So, hey, I mean, do you really want to take a job as offense coordinator and all of a sudden the guy gets fired? Now you're not going to be there. You have to think about things like that. So, I mean, it makes sense. And hey, if it means Billy's going to be looking or just overseeing everything, being a CEO, that's really all we need him to be. Like, you don't have to necessarily be so involved. Just kind of open.
Okay, look, the thing is, AB,
being too involved.
If you're Napier, you have
to be bold enough.
We have the National Gatorade Player of the Year in DJ Lagway.
He's playing.
This is what we have. We have Eugene Wilson III. Come call plays for us. Let's see where it goes.
You got head coaches for the head coach for a coordinator, bro.
Oh my God.
That's what we're doing.
Spring football.
We were just joking about that. And that's exactly what he said. What it was.
Spring football is going to be hilarious, bro. Yeah.
I will say this though: if these moves that are made end up improving us as a team, what are y'all going to be laughing then, or are y'all going to?
I'm going to be happy.
Why the fuck you be laughing? They improve the team. Do I think they will? No.
I mean, because you're laughing. Maybe this will be a laugh now, look stupid later moment.
You said this 2 years in a row, AB, and we're still looking stupid.
Well, really almost 3 years.
I'm going to be honest. I told you 2 years ago when he took this job, and he even told us, this is not going to be an overnight rebuild.
And you kept coping and say, 8 wins is possible. 9 wins is possible.
What you say? You're going 7-0?
I mean, it was possible because, I mean, yeah. Let me finish, y'all. Because, yeah, I mean, You got some bad apples out there, and we got rid of most, if not all, the mid, most of it. Because I don't know why Marcus Weston is still on this team, but
they're still busy.
Bro, that man got eligibility.
I mean, they weren't like totally devoid of talent at some positions. They weren't totally devoid. Hey man, that running back room. They still had great running backs.
Well, we had a traitor in the running back room, so it doesn't matter.
There was a hole amongst us.
The man was selling.
Well, he's gone now, and buy stock, heavy stock in Trayon Webb. That's all I'm going to say.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Because I'm hearing with these – not only is he – him and DJ Lightway, they killing these off-season workouts. These workouts are very, very difficult.
That's nice.
Killing it. They are killing it.
I think, like, you know, that'll pay off, like, down the stretch of some of these games, of course, because – we had some of them, man. We could have won those games. Like LSU, we had, I think we could have won that game. We could have won against, well, we should have won against Arkansas. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. What happened?
Ran out of gas.
And we just got pounded by Kentucky. That was just.
Like, Jesus. People don't understand. Like, little things like that, making the change at the strength and conditioning coach position and the team looking better in that category. Right now, with these workouts, they're looking a lot better. And little things like that, like you just said, they can help you win one or two more games that you may not.
True. Even for the state.
Like the little things like that matter. Changing nutrition, that matters.
No more milkshakes for Big Dez.
I mean, it's not an on field thing. We know that. It's not an on field thing. We know that. But. Yeah. It's still something that's going to help. Because look at teams like Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, the teams that constantly make college football playoff. What is one thing that we notice about them? Strength and conditioning? It's up there. They have elite programs.
Yeah, I mean.
There's also the other part of it, which is, you know, talent.
I mean, the team that just won a national championship in football this past year, you want to know what they've been ranked in recruiting the last few years?
Well, like not nine.
Below Florida.
Better coaches, don't they?
Well, not anymore. Hardball's with the Chargers now. But you know what? I think Sharon Moore is going to do a good job. He's going to do a good job.
I'm praying. I'm praying for him, bro. I'm praying for that man.
I am too, but I think he's going to do a good job there.
Those alumni from Plymouth, Michigan, when they lose to Ohio State for the first time.
Yo, they are going to light that man up.
I mean, but the little things like that's what you notice. Like in the fourth quarter, those teams never got tired. They got strong.
Yeah, Michigan, man, they did get stronger. Like, I think that's what separated Michigan and Washington, really. Like, if you watch that game over, like, it was just wow. Front, man, just the strength, you know.
Well, it's kind of stable because Washington in the second half of that game played very well up front. It just eventually, yeah, I guess. They couldn't do anything offense.
Well, you saw who strength and conditioning came into play.
I mean, I don't know strength and conditioning had anything to do with the fact that they couldn't throw the football.
Against that defense, everybody struggled to throw the football against them. You got a cornerback like Will Johnson out there locking everything up on one side. Yeah, it's gonna be hard to throw the ball. And then Sanstro at safety, good luck. Yeah.
Then they just couldn't throw anything over the middle because we missed all night. So.
And speaking of stock rising, shout out to Ricky Pearsall. Practice 2 days at the Senior Bowl. They pretty much told him, we've seen enough. You don't have to do no more. You don't even have to play in this game. Your stock just went up.
Bro, so, hey, he's like projected like a high second round pick, right?
I don't know about that, but
I saw a PFF high second round grade.
The last mock draft I saw did have him going 33rd, but if he tests well at the combine, which I think he will, and today, I'm gonna tell you right now, I would not be surprised. This is gonna shock some people. He sneaks into that late first round where the Kansas City Chiefs have a pick.
I'm not overthinking this, but he'll get there.
I mean, if you think about it, like I watch a lot of Braxton Berrios, of course, because you know, I think he can be better.
A lot better. And I like Berrios this way. He, like, for what he does with the Dolphins, He's a good player. He's a really good player. So mm-hmm. you just never know. I think he's going to be one of those guys where I don't know if it's going to matter what team he goes to because the way he works, I mean, he's a hard worker. He's a good player. He wants to be really good. But if he goes to a team like the Kansas City Chiefs or even like the Baltimore Ravens.
I was thinking the same thing.
Somebody like that.
Jacksonville could use him. Hey, bro.
You know what? Jacksonville would be another great spot for him.
Hey, man, he might cook in Jacksonville. I don't care.
That would be another great spot. Like, you think about that. Teams like that, oh, he's going to have a long career.
Running the right routes, that would do wonders for Trevor Lawrence.
Look at size. Looking big right now.
We need size.
You also. Well,
y'all have opportunities. Y'all have opportunities, bro. It's just, you know.
You also what are you willing to? He's a great route runner.
Yeah.
Like he's going to be a guy that's going to get open all the time. You don't have to worry about
forcing. Jacksonville going to get – you want size? You're going to get Johnny Wilson, boy.
Fuck off. I'll take Brian Thomas.
Speaking of which, yeah. I watched the KMT podcast. They did their own mock draft on there. They had, I think, Jacksonville take another offensive lineman. I think an interior offensive lineman.
Thank the heavens.
They had the Dolphins take. I think they had the Dolphins take an offensive lineman as well. But they were waiting on whether they take an edge rusher too.
They'll definitely take offensive lineman because Carl Williams is not coming back.
Yeah, they went with offensive lineman and they got to the Cowboys. I'm like, they need an offensive lineman on the inside or offensive tackle, really on the right side. But they also need another receiver. They had us pick Brian Thomas. I'm like, I thought about it. I'm like, you know, him with CeeDee Lamb, yeah, they could cook, but I would hope we go offensive lineman in the second round. That's the case, but
I don't think it matters regardless. Just take whoever. Just take good players.
Good players, you're going to be all right. That's
essentially. Yeah, also, these mock drafts also don't take into account the whole something called free agency.
Well, yeah, that's true. I thought about it. I'm like, if Brian Thomas falls that far, he falls us. Knowing that front office, yeah, they're going to definitely take him.
You might want a veteran O-lineman and get one free agency and go draft the best player available in that case. Or, you never know how these things work out. You never know how boards shake out. You never know who's going to fall, who's going to rise. This shit is – it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, you really don't know.
We're not talking about Ricky. I mean, he went from possible fourth, fifth-round pick to now the way he performed at the Senior Bowl after just 2 days of practice, he's getting talked about to be going in the early second round right now. So we just never know. He could go – I think he's going to be a day two pick anyway, whether it's second or third round.
Mm.
If he sneaks into that late first round, I also wouldn't be shocked. Because it's going to depend on who gets them.
Right.
If I'm Baltimore, I look at it.
Baltimore, yes.
Late first-round picks.
But then again, Baltimore has a lot of things because they're going to probably lose a lot of guys on that team, especially on the defense.
Just the matter of being, they make moves now.
And Queen. You have to choose from one of the two.
You want Patrick Queen to go to Miami, don't you?
Patrick Queen goes. I would take Patrick Queen in Miami.
There's rumors he may – because I think y'all just hired – who'd y'all hire from Baltimore, Jerry?
Their defensive line coach.
Yeah, and I think there's rumors that Patrick Queen could possibly follow him.
Baker and Queen?
That'd be a scary sight. I mean, it was already scary with him and Roquan Smith, but, man, shout out to all these guys on. And Kingsley Walken had a pretty good game. And actually, he was on the winning
team. Yeah.
Yeah, he was on the winning team. He had a pretty good showing out there. Hey, so
bro was load managing at Florida. We all know that. We all know
he'd be load managing is crazy.
I don't think you're load managing a high ankle sprain. Like, come on now.
I'm kidding.
Like a high ankle sprain ain't nothing. But I told y'all when I suffered mine, it took me 5.5 months to fully recover. That ain't nothing to play with. That when I tell you that's pain, that's a different kind of pain. But yeah, we'll see where Kingsley goes as well, because I think they had him projected to go in like the seventh round, so we'll see. Like, you never know. Like Marcus said, it's a crapshoot. You don't know. I mean, and hey, if he's a seventh round pick, who knows? Maybe he's a seventh round pick that turns out to be a successor like Isaiah Pacheco or Brock Purdy, and you're playing in the Super Bowl. As long as you pick up
and play well in camp, you're gonna be solid.
Right. I mean, so just you never know. I think they're doing the Walter Payton Man of the Year award now on the NFL Honors. But
oh, is the MVP getting announced tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lamar.
Well, Myles Garrett won Defensive Player of the Year.
You said
Myles Garrett won Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, he won Defensive Player of the Year, even though I don't think he should have. You know,
who you think should have won it?
Don't even.
I mean, you break the record for in a season. That kind of something.
Does it?
Yes, it kind of does.
There's a reason he got it because people kept throwing at him.
Did he take advantage of his opportunities?
Sure. But he also kept getting thrown at, and there were also times he got fucking torched.
Yeah.
Did he have 9 or 10 interceptions?
Did he give up 100 some odd yards in the first half? Did you get Metcalf?
He also shut him down?
No. What the fuck?
In the second half?
AB, let's be honest, bro. Defensive Player of the Year awards, use like it's a front seven guy.
Why, honestly? I thought it was going to go to him.
I didn't.
But then
all I know is though Josh Allen had more sacks than both those guys and didn't get a single vote. So
that's sick. The bias, the anti-Jaguar bias is crazy.
Well, CJ Stroud won Offensive Rookie of the Year.
As he should have.
Yep, I mean so. We'll see.
Maybe Carolina, you will pay for your crimes.
It just, like, you know, I feel like everybody was overthinking that pick, though, bro.
Yes! I'm going to be honest. I don't know if CJ Stroud has the same success if he's in Carolina. Because you got to think about what he has around him in Houston compared to what Carolina had.
Yeah, I still think he'll throw the ball on time. I still think he won't try to run out the market every so often. And I think he's much more accurate than Bryce Young.
He is, but...
What was Bryce Young throwing to? Let's be real. What was he throwing to?
Did any of you niggas think Tank Dell was going to do this? Did any of y'all think? Who else?
Nico
Collins?
No one
knew who Nico Collins was until he broke out like this.
That's true, but they're also better than 37-year-old Adam Thielen.
Yes, but it ain't like he had a great offensive line outside Tunsil.
Yeah, have you seen Carolina's offensive line?
Well, Houston wasn't that great either.
They were still better than Carolina's. A lot better.
Not by that much. Yeah, but CJ Stroud, the way CJ Stroud plays, he probably overcome it a lot better than what Bryce Young could. Because Bryce Young needs a lot more help compared to what CJ needs.
I agree.
Bryce Young needs a lot of help in Carolina.
He's more athletic and he's a better athlete. He's more athletic, he's more accurate, and he's taller.
I mean, that's true, and he's the first Ohio State quarterback that's actually looks like he's going to be successful.
Yeah, because I hate that shit so much. Buddy. Scout the player.
Scout the player, don't scout. Yeah, I agree.
I do agree with that, but, I mean, they did have a history of quarterbacks coming out of there being one-read quarterbacks.
Because they were one-read quarterbacks because they were damn good running backs, pretty much.
Yeah.
Did you think JT Barrett was going to do anything in the NFL? Cardale Jones? Did you think JT Barrett was going to do anything?
I don't think anybody thought Cardale Jones was going to be like this.
I was never around Dwayne Haskins either at the time. Recipes, but
Cardale Jones almost a first-round pick off of one game.
It tends to be what happens when he's like 6 foot, God knows how much, and can throw 70 yards.
And broke like he was sliding as a
The Texans swept the Rookie of the Year awards as Will Anderson won Defensive Rookie of the Year.
As they should have.
Well deserved.
Which is well deserved, yep. I agree with that. But man.
Oh, Rob, you remember he was promising.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I mean, one is going to get named. rather it be Rob Sale?
Benthany Eck is the OC.
Look, man, if I was the OC for real, do you know what kind of offense I draw up?
An offense?
Do you have any idea? You give me a weapon like Eugene Wilson. You have any idea what I'm going to cook up on offense?
Nothing.
Oh, no. I'm cooking. Man, listen.
Be serious.
You're going to be going your Mike McDaniel?
But let's just say y'all going to be calling me a mad scientist.
You know, the thing about Florida football, man, like, especially going through this year, there are pieces there that we can use. It's just a matter of going, like, you know, playing to their strengths, playing complementary football. We have not – that was Napier's biggest thing coming into tenure, playing complementary football. And if your special teams can't complement your defense or your offense, you have big fish to fry. And that's pretty much it.
Let me let y'all in on a little secret that's very controversial.
No problem.
The offense wasn't really the problem.
It wasn't a solution either.
No, it wasn't a solution.
I didn't say it was, but it wasn't the major problem.
What was the major problem in your opinion?
It was clearly it was defense. Let's be serious.
Clearly the defense that had records set on them by Jaden Daniels.
I mean, he set records on a lot of people.
Yeah, no. He didn't set records on a lot of people like he did Florida.
But like against
ungodly.
Outside of that big bomb against Utah, though, like, do we feel like defense played horribly against Utah?
I mean, they were good starting off, but then it was after the Tennessee game where we saw the real problem. Kentucky, like. I don't think folks realize Kentucky really exposed Florida's defense terribly.
No shit.
So the major problem was addressed.
Was it?
Yeah.
You don't know that until the games get played. I'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
That's true. And people, very soon you might see a Gator football player on here very soon. I'm going to see if I can try to hook that up. Maybe one of the freshmen. Because we already know we're not going to be able to get Graham Mertz. We tried that one. It did not.
Hey, at least we had lag. At least we had Lagway on here, bro.
I'll take that.
Yeah, we had him on here before he enrolled. And by the way, like I said, he's killing the workouts there. They're pretty much saying he's making them look easy. And they're difficult. So that's saying a lot.
Culture.
Well, the workouts are pretty much making players throw up. We back to those.
That's what we needed, man. That's what we needed.
All I'll say is they're playing programs that do that and also win like three games.
Come on, Marcus. Don't be like that.
Negative, man.
I'm not being negative. I'm telling the truth.
We can win the first three games.
Tyreek Hill is presenting an award, and I don't know who this is with him.
Are you watching it?
A little bit, yeah. I'm glad Jerry did not just see that look on my face.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No. I know what that means.
Brother.
No, but in all seriousness, spring football was announced. The spring game was announced. It will be April 13th at 1 o'clock, finally back on a Saturday. Jerry has said he's going to be there. We don't know. Jerry said he was going to be there. Marcus, have you made the decision on whether you will be there?
Be where?
Spring game.
Undetermined.
Still undetermined. He's got plenty of time.
If Jerry goes, I guess.
You need a ride to the game, don't you?
why would I go by myself? I'll do that shit.
I mean, so Jerry's going to be slime. So basically, you need Jerry to slide by the crib to pick you up.
Pretty please.
I may or may not be going, depending. It's on a Saturday, so it's more ideal. I know that much.
At 1 o'clock? Yeah, that's the other thing I'm happy about. Back on a Saturday, that's what we needed. McElwain first completion will have a 10-minute standing ovation. 10 minutes now. Now yeah. I will say, I think the first play he gets in will be a pass.
I'll clip the interview and say, yeah, we believe.
The first play he gets in, Rob, I actually kind of agree with this. I would go a step further. The first play he gets in as a 4-gator, I don't even think it's going to be a run play. I think it's going to be a pass play. Because think about it, defense going to see him come in and expect him to run. Let him throw a pass. That's how I look at it. But before we get out of here, y'all got any final thoughts?
Free Rondo.
That's not crazy.
That is wild, man.
Gators don't suck. Where's Callaway don't suck.
We want a championship to celebrate on this podcast. Win something. Do something.
I just
want to
celebrate not a losing season.
Literally, bro. Literally. Just like, you know. Gosh. Almighty.
I think we will be celebrating a winning season in a bowl game next season.
Sure.
The real question is, will we be celebrating a tournament win in basketball?
Probably not.
We could. Yeah.
Oh, it's not kidding.
Marcus is watching hockey right now.
No, watching that for you.
Oh, and another final thought. Do you smell? Low.
Apparently, he slapped the hell out of Cody Rhodes tonight, so.
That whole thing's a mess. I'm not even.
Hey, bro, that's a different time. The
matter is Roman versus Rock, night one of WrestleMania. Roman also taking on Cody Rhodes in night two.
That man's not working two nights.
I don't think he would, but it would make sense if he loses that title, he takes time off.
None of this shit makes sense anyway.
No, it's like confusing. I don't know what they're cooking up here.
They don't know what they're cooking up. Well, I know what they're cooking up, but you know.
Let's just say they're pissing off the fans.
Let's just say they're trying to distract the fans.
That too.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
They always piss the fans off. So, I mean, it's old hat.
Your favorite coach is nominated for Coach of the Year.
Who that?
John Harbaugh.
Yeah, fuck John Harbaugh.
What? Him, Kyle Shanahan, Kevin Stefanski. I think if D'Amico Ryans don't win this award, y'all gonna see me right.
D'Amico is a miracle.
I wouldn't say either him or Stefanski or
Dan Campbell is nominated. But I'm gonna be on here real quick before I get my final thought. D'Amico Ryans don't win this award, y'all gonna see me go off.
We riot.
Y'all will see me go off.
Hey, what?
Who are we watching right now, Marcus?
He's watching FAU.
Oh my God. All right, y'all.
It's on 209. We just got N1 Janelle Davis. We're up 8 now.
Best player in the country.
Nelly Ball.
Wow. Kevin Stefanski won.
Told you. Told you.
I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand it. I mean,
what do you mean don't understand? It's not like it's not a highway robbery. I would probably give D'Amico Ryans, but Spence is not exactly a robbery.
It kind of is considering nobody expected Houston to do what they did.
They got to the playoffs with Joe Flacco. And the entire team being injured.
Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Flacco?
Come on, man.
That was 12 years ago. Flacco fresh off of his couch, mind you.
They did get this man off the couch. that is crazy. And he was playing well until he ran to Houston, ironically. But my final thought is.
Oh, shit. They're saying Andre Johnson is made to the Hall of Fame.
Stop giving it away, damn it.
Oh, who cares?
But that's well-deserved. That sphere in Las Vegas is weird, man. That big ass sphere is weird. Look at this. Imagine driving by and all of a sudden you just see some weird stuff on there. But My final thought is shout out to the baseball team. Pierce Capallo, appreciate you for joining us on the show tonight, man. We're going to be looking forward to watching y'all play. And we know y'all have unfinished business.
Unfinished business.
So we looking forward to it. Should be a great season. Softball. Florida softball starts officially tomorrow. I think they're in a tournament at USF. Like they have one of the tournaments every year to start the season off. They start tomorrow. It's not on TV, but keep up with it. Keep up with it.
Come on, Tim.
I want to say they play USF first, and then I think they play Michigan afterwards. There's teams there. So they start tomorrow. Shout out to the
measuring stick, man.
Shout out to the ladies.
Yes, sir.
Even though Oklahoma's still probably the favorite to win it all, even though they lost their best pitcher.
Don't matter, man. It's just kind of a juggernaut, sadly.
It probably ain't going to matter. Shout out to them. Basketball. Big win. We didn't, but they've always been traditionally really good.
Ah, he almost had to lay up. Shoot.
But let everybody know where they can follow y'all.
Burn. The books are getting baptized. Whoa. I'm sorry.
What happened?
The books are getting baptized by Minnesota Timberwolves. 102-75. Jay Crowder has more points than Giannis.
Who's the head coach for the Bucks?
Oh my God. Damn, Glenn.
Oh,
hiring Doc Rivers out of all this, like, you made a mistake and he compounded it by hiring a worse coach. It's kind of crazy. Good Lord.
Hey, Miami's going to play around, get that 7 seed, bro, and they're going to take them boys out again. That's hilarious.
That's going to be so funny.
Jeez.
Yeah, because like I said, we don't, for some reason, we don't care about the regular season. We don't take it as serious as we should.
I don't know about you don't care. I think y'all just are kind of, let me stop.
Yeah,
I think y'all are just a playoff team.
Yeah, like I said, they don't care. They don't really care unless it's like a big game. Like they're going to care on Sunday. They're going to care about that game. That's a revenge right there. They definitely don't care about that.
I don't know about Sunday. Not caring because there's certain years where you can say that and they just get the shit kicked out of them when they actually get there. Sometimes you just happen to flip a switch. Sometimes you do. You can't always get away with doing that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they do need to quit doing that. Speaking of which, the New York Knicks are losing. Looks like they're going to go down. The Dallas Mavericks are going to get a win. They're up 121-105 with a minute left.
Got Grant Williams off the team.
And Laker fans, I'm going to go ahead and warn y'all now. If you lose on Kobe statue night on 2-8, 24 tonight.
Let's be honest. They lost after he died. And Damian was
bad. Who cares?
Jerry, do you not realize that team was broken when he died? I wasn't.
Everybody was broken.
But I'm not. I wasn't surprised that they lost. I wasn't surprised.
Everybody was, bro, everybody was broken.
If it were me on the team, I wouldn't have played that night. I would not have played. So I get that.
I'm just saying, bro.
Let everybody know where they can follow y'all. Burner accounts included.
JBreezyII on Twitter. JLamar_II on Instagram. I am BreezyII on Twitter as a backup burner.
Y'all know where to follow me. Ebenezer Screws 207.
Thunder got Gordon Hayward.
You just not get caught up?
Bro, I have not seen anything. I am shook.
You can follow me on Twitter at AceWave1, on Instagram at Ace_ladies. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Inside_Swamp, Instagram Inside_FordAthletics. Twitch, Inside Swamp. TikTok, Inside Swamp. So make sure we'll be putting out more content. Make sure y'all hit the like button and subscribe here on YouTube. Also, help us get our numbers up. And with that, we would do a song of the week, but we don't want to get sued and thrown in by record labels, and you know, they sue us for $10 million, and now Marcus got to empty out all his bank accounts and pay all the fees and everything. But we're not trying to do that. We're not trying to do that. But with that, we leave y'all as we always do. God bless y'all. Go Gators. Y'all stay safe, especially with this weather changing and the pollen being out there.
Yes.
And the disease, the flu's cold out there. Make sure y'all stay safe. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your loved ones. You love them every day. Take care of your temple. Take care of your mentals. Wash your face. Wash your hands. Marcus.
Take a goddamn shower.
Please.
Oh, and also, shameless plug. Use beard oil.
Hey, y'all heard the man. Use the beard oils.
With coconut.
Vitamin E and coconut oil.
E. Even if you cut your beard off, still use it.
That's right. We're trying to get the follicle stimulated.
Exactly. So y'all remember to do that. And what's that thing about shoes, Marcus, that they need to do?
Wear them.
What kind of shoes again?
Closed-toed in the movie theater in any and all public settings.
With socks. Please. Preferably non-stanky-ass socks.
And make sure those feet washed, too. Every nook and cranny.
Wash them. Even at communion, wash them.
And wash what else?
Jimmy and the Two Twins and Vanessa the...
And also, I'm going to say it for you. Wash your nasty ass.
Thoroughly. And moisturize.
Yeah, seriously. And oh, been drinking the new Gatorade Light. This stuff is elite.
Oh, stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated. Wow. And with this health kick that we've been on, eating healthy and taking care of ourselves. I still do Gatorade, but I had to go with the lighter version.
Proud of my brother.
And I like these. Mixed berry here. Tried lemon lime. They also have watermelon. They have strawberry kiwi. And it's another one I bought tonight. Cherry lime. So, that, God bless y'all. Go Gators. Y'all have a great night, and we'll see y'all next week. Have a great night.